Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Amano, your host, and we are here to help achievers, business owners, and leaders move forward. That's what Avanti means in Italian, move forward, and that's our goal for today. We want to move you forward so that you can reach your potential. Today on the show, I have a great guest. His name is Mike Mancuso from Lawley Insurance. Mike, good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, David. Great to be here.
Thanks for your time. Totally appreciate you being here today. And Mike, want to learn a little bit more about your journey with Lawley Insurance. And I hope I don't offend you, but a lot of times when people think of insurance, they want to stick a fork in their eye, right? I mean, it's not, you know, we'll say there hasn't been like L.A. insurance agency TV show, right? L.A. Law, whatever, all these exciting TV shows. So but insurance, while it not the most like glamorous field in the world. Now, I hope I'm not offending you, but
it's all like
going to the dentist.
I've heard before. Yes.
It's like going to the dentist, like, oh, yay. Like, no, you know, but we need insurance. So when something happens that could happen with business, personal, et cetera, it's good to know that the insurance is there for the emergencies, right? And for business. So so tell me a little bit more about, well, first let's hear about your journey. You're a fellow Rochesterian, and so tell us about your entrepreneurial journey as you became a partner in Lawley Insurance, and you know, how'd you get here? How did it all get started?
Well, it's an interesting question, David, and what's actually fairly funny is I started being an entrepreneur in college. My senior year in college, I was very involved with my family's manufacturing business. And my grandfather came to me my senior year in college and said, hey, Mike, you know, how would you like to start a sales company? I said, a sales company? I don't know anything about sales. He goes, no, you can do it. You're personable. And, you know, I know you can do a good job at it. And so why don't you start a manufacturer's rep company? I said, sure. Okay, I'll do it. And I changed the voicemail on my phone in college and started making cold calls down to manufacturers in Tampa. And I was wildly unsuccessful. I couldn't sell anything, you know.
Right.
And I got out of college and started working with my grandfather in the business and would travel down to Sarasota, you know, probably 8 to 10 times a year working for his manufacturing business down there. It was a small plastic injection molding company. It had about 20 employees, you know, a couple $1 million in revenue. And I learned how to, you know, meet business owners and meet purchasing managers and get into doors and how to actually sell.
Mm-hmm.
So and I really learned that from my grandfather, and I had a unique opportunity to travel with him for about 5 years up and down to Florida, meeting with different business owners and kind of learning what it took. I quickly learned that you have to have multiple hats being a small business owner. So you know, maybe I was selling one day. The next day I was looking to the bank for a line of credit to buy machinery. The next day I was stopping at Staples to buy paper supplies.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of the jack of all trades.
Yep.
Which was a lot of fun. I learned a lot.
President, CEO, janitor.
You got it.
Whatever it takes.
You got it, you know. And we competed quite a bit with China and overseas. And you'd walk into, you know, big companies and you'd look at a little part and they'd say, geez, Mike, we're getting this molded for 8 cents. I said, my material cost is 7.5. I don't know how you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we struggled. We had some tough times. And I made a decision to, you know, stop traveling. And I was married at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife's like, I don't want to move to Florida.
Yeah.
Our family's born and raised in Rochester. I want to stay here.
Yeah.
So I quickly looked for a position, and I found an ad in the paper for a sales consultant at a local insurance company. I called the VP of sales and said, hey, John, I need a job. He goes, what do you mean, Mike? You have your own business. You're working with your family. Things are good. What do you need a job for? I said, well, I don't want to travel anymore, and I want to get in the insurance business. I knew a little bit about it by being on the other side of the table dealing with our insurance broker from a local broker down in Florida, and I went to work for them. And after about a week, I called my grandfather up, and he goes, Mike, how you doing? How's the new job? Poppy. I said, you'll never guess. It's easy. He said, what do you mean? I was like, all these people know is their little job and they have their blinders on and that's all they see. And I asked them, well, why can't you do this or why can't you do that? I said, the client wants it. He said, well, that's not how we do things here.
Mm-hmm.
And he started laughing. He said, Mike, I told you it was going to be like that.
Yeah.
You're dealing with people who've been somewhere a long, long time. They're set in their ways. They've never had to make it happen for the client.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, this is a good experience for you working at a big company where, you know, you're just a number mm-hmm. in my little cube. I got to dress up in a suit, which I never really wore suits down in Florida visiting clients.
Yeah.
So it was a whole new experience for me. But it was great because I got into a new industry. I worked really, really hard there and learned as much as I possibly could because there was a lot of wealth of knowledge in the company. And I quickly learned after about 3 months, I'm on the wrong side of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
There's these guys called consultants and brokers, and they control the relationship with these clients who I was working with them.
Right.
And I had breakfast with one particular broker in Batavia, and we chatted for a while, and he explained to me what he did, and we talked, and I asked him a bunch of questions, and he couldn't answer a lot of the questions. And I quickly learned that he really didn't know any more than I did, or maybe less than I did. And so I wrote a business plan that night and came up with...
Your Jerry Maguire business plan?
Yeah, my Jerry Maguire business plan, you know, and... it was a couple pages, and I decided at that point, you know, I wasn't going to work there for a long time. I'm going to start my own business and give it a go. So I made it there about a year.
Mm-hmm.
I started a really big firm, Mancuso Consulting. It was me, myself, and I.
How'd you think of that name? very creative. Yeah.
Looking back, it was a risk, right? I had built a new house. My wife was pregnant. I had school loans, and I thought, how am I going to make it?
Yeah.
How is this going to work? And my wife, you know, she was very skeptical. She's like, Mike, you sure you know what you're doing? I had my whiteboard. I went to Staples. I got a desk. I had my new stapler. Mm-hmm. And I was raring to go. I made some calls.
Had your JCPenney suit.
And my Stafford executive.
There you go.
And I was ready to go. But I quickly learned that when you're on the other side of the table, business owners look at you differently.
Mm-hmm.
I said, geez, Mike, I loved you when you were my insurance rep, but now,
yeah,
are you going to be in business in a month,
mm-hmm.
in 6 months,
right,
in a year? And I was fairly young at the time. I was 26 years old.
Yeah.
Looking back, I'm glad I didn't know what I didn't know.
Right.
Ignorance was kind of bliss.
Yeah.
But I remember the day that I made my first big sale.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of luck, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of a friend referred me into a local construction group. I got in there, put a proposal together. The proposal was very good. We ended up winning the business. And from there, it was almost like dominoes.
The rest is history.
The rest is history. You know, things got some momentum going. We got some clients. But after doing that for 2 years, I built up a nice book of business. And then I thought to myself, what am I going to do? I'm going to start hiring people.
Mm.
I can't be sales and marketing and service. And I would go on vacation for a few days, and my cell phone would ring off the hook because there was nobody else to call. It was me.
Right.
And I had some nice clients, and I thought, how am I going to compete with these large brokers?
Yeah.
So I looked around. I spoke to a bunch of different brokers, and I was kind of a turnkey little business that I could have went in anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I met with Lawley. Met with a partner at Lawley. I frankly didn't know Lawley that well.
Hey, Mike, hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
You got it.
Fox News' Tim Shalhoub takes on the news stories of the day with comedic insight. Weekdays from 3 to 6 on WOKR.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-368-5184, 800-368-5184, 800-368-5184, 800-368-5184.
Think of everything you do to provide for your family. A home, food on the table, healthcare, vacations, and saving for your kids' education. It's all good as long as you're alive. But it's only a drop in the bucket of what they'll need if you die without life insurance. Buying term life insurance is not something you can afford to put off. Call the Term Lifeline now for the lowest possible rates on quality term life insurance. Term life rates are at all-time lows, and we can save you up to 70%. If you already have coverage, you could be paying too much. One call could save you thousands of dollars. We have great rates for smokers, too, or if you have health problems. Providing for today is good, but it's not enough if you die prematurely. Call the Term Lifeline today for a free quote. Protect your family and see if you could save up to 70%.
800-430-1481. 800-430-1481. 800-430-1481. That's 800-430-1481.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? We can help you if you qualify. Your student loans can be taken out of default. We can stop the wage garnishments, stop the collection calls, and stop the seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and see if we can help you reduce your student loan payments. One quick 10-minute call could solve them right now. So call the Student Loan Helpline now.
800-419-2201, 800-419-2201, 800-419-2201, that's 800-419-2201.
This is a fee-based document preparation service to help you access free government programs. Call for complete details, not available in all states.
Serving Canandaigua and Rochester's East Side, 1310 WOKR.
All right, we are back. I am Dave Amato, host of the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. I'm here today with a great guest. His name is Mike Mancuso, and Mike is he's from Lawley Insurance. And let me tell you, Mike is making insurance. He's breathing some life and energy into what most people think of a non-exciting business. So loving the story so far. Mike's telling a story about how he got started in his journey into being a successful insurance agent at Lawley and a partner now. So Mike, you know, continue the story. You started your own business.
Correct.
And then you were like, I need to start hiring people. Do I want to do that? Tell us the next steps, please.
It was kind of a serendipitous moment where I got invited to a Bills game by a mutual friend, and went to the Bills game, and on the limo ride up there, I met a partner of Lawley,
mm-hmm.
and he said, Mike, I heard good things about you. You know, I think you should talk to us about coming over with us. And I said, no, I don't think so. I'm pretty happy where I am, and things mm-hmm. are going pretty well. So we watched the game, and the way back, he said, you know, you should really give some thought to, you know, what I asked you earlier if you want to get together. And so I went home that night, and the next day I thought, you know, it can't hurt to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I called him up, met with our managing partner. This was back around about 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Had a conversation, a very frank conversation with him, and talked about numbers and, you know, revenues and what splits would be and all of that. And I said, geez, I said, doesn't take you X percent to run the business.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, you're absolutely right. That percentage is our profit.
Hmm.
I was like, well, you know, he's giving me straight scoop.
Yeah.
You know, he's not sugarcoating anything. So
yeah.
I went to Buffalo. I met with the other four partners, and I asked myself one question. Would I buy something from these guys?
Mm-hmm.
Do I get a good feeling from these guys?
Would you be a customer?
Would I be a customer? And the answer was a resounding yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was lots of other places I could have kind of hung my hat at the time, but I felt most comfortable with them. And frankly, we didn't have a big presence in the Rochester market.
Mm-hmm.
When I joined, it was myself and one partner.
Oh, really?
For the whole benefits group here.
Yeah.
We also had a property and casualty group. which had been here for numerous years, but the benefits group was fairly new.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a kind of a leap of faith on my end, but I'm very, very glad I made the leap.
Mm-hmm.
It actually turned out better than I actually anticipated. I did have to work around 7 years to make partner,
mm-hmm.
Become an owner of the firm, but you know, I was given that opportunity, and it's been a really great opportunity, and now we've kind of grown exponentially since I started almost 12 years ago.
How many people are here in Rochester now?
We have almost 60 employees now.
60? 6-0?
Yep.
And you said how many? Two?
There were two on the benefit side and about 18 on the property and casualty side. So we've tripled in the last 11 or 12 years.
And it's all because of you.
Yeah. I won't tell my other partners
right,
that you said
no,
that,
that's,
right?
That's, well, you know, and I met one of your younger colleagues, Adam Clowden, who just started out a couple of years ago, maybe
2 years.
Yeah,
yes.
And you know, if the, any indication of who works here are people like Adam, then it's got to be an incredible firm because he is just he's the kind of young professional that makes you proud and gives you hope for America.
You know, I would 100% agree with you, and if I could clone Adam and make 10 more of them, I would tomorrow. That's for sure.
You would probably be the leading insurance firm in the country.
Right? You're absolutely right. Yes.
Yeah. That's great. So you're a partner, and how does that compare to just coming in being full sales? What are your responsibilities now as opposed to what they were 10 years ago? Are you still doing sales versus being a leader, or is it a combo? How do you handle all that?
It's a combo, and it's difficult, you know, kind of a balancing act. In our firm, we're kind of unique where every partner is still a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
We all still have books of businesses.
Yeah.
We have clients we deal with. We have the same problems that our consultants and our service people have. What is unique is we have an extra layer, right, of the hat that we wear of being leadership.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll give you an example of that. This morning I was at a municipality with one of our consultants.
Mm-hmm.
We had a major issue there, and they were trying to make a big decision on their health care,
mm-hmm.
Which would move them from a fully insured type arrangement to a self-funded arrangement because another competitor of ours came in and saying that would be a great solution for them.
Yeah.
So I went in this morning, spent about an hour and a half with this client, and walked them through the numbers and made them realize it doesn't make sense to take this huge financial risk for mm-hmm. a very, very small upside.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's something that normally I wouldn't be involved in as just a salesperson, but, you know, being that, you know, we want to save a client and make sure the client's happy.
Bring in your expertise.
We bring in the mm-hmm. troops when we have to and make sure that you know, we're being properly represented. And frankly, the client mm-hmm. knows their risks and exposures because a lot of times they don't.
Yeah. So, Mike, that actually leads to a question I have for you. So, you know, I was joking that, you know, insurance traditionally is not known as a sexy business. There's probably not going to be LA insurance TV show coming out soon, right? but obviously, you love it. I mean, in order to sell a product well and sell it for so many years, you have to love it, right? You have to love what you do, and knowing that you're making a difference in the world and with your clients, and you know, everybody is really trying to find out their quote-unquote why these days. You know, Simon Sinek wrote that book, you know, and so you've been so successful in the insurance industry. What is your why? Like, what gives you satisfaction about selling a really great insurance policy to a company? How's, you know, it must give you some great energy and satisfaction.
I mean, I think the big why for me is, my big satisfaction is delivering, right, for a client. And, you know, what you said, you kind of hit the nail on the head with providing value and not just lip service.
Mm-hmm.
Actually coming to the table. And I walked into a group yesterday. They're a group. They're about a 250-employee company. They spend about $2.5 million a year on healthcare.
Wow.
And we did an analysis for them, and we showed them over the last 3 years, if you would have put your healthcare in a different financial arrangement, you would have saved $1.25 million.
Wow.
Real dollars.
Wow.
You know, and I looked at the president and looked at the CFO, and their, you know, eyes were wide and they couldn't believe their eyes.
They're happy / pissed off.
Yes.
Bittersweet.
Yeah, more on the pissed off side. But the numbers don't lie, you know. And I said, look, I can't do anything to save you that $1.25 million. That money's gone. Unfortunately, I'll never get it back. Your employees won't get it back. The insurance carrier won that bet over the last 3 years. But on a go forward, I know we can provide value. I know we can come up with different strategies to control your costs, you know, and give your employees the best health insurance and the best employee benefit package that money can buy in this area, you know. So I'm confident we'll end up winning that business. But to your point, you know, there's certain insurance, and he brought up, one of the president brought up something that another person had brought to them on a type of insurance product. And he said, Mike, what do you think about it? I said, I'm an insurance guy telling you, I don't like it.
Right.
I don't like it. People yeah. don't need it. You're over-insuring people, mm-hmm. you know, and that is a major problem where people will get over-insured from the fear factor.
Yeah.
And people in my position, unfortunately, can do that because we know more about insurance than the average person does.
Yeah.
So if you know, talk to a $12 or $13 an hour person and you tell them, look, you know, that you really need this to protect your family,
yeah.
or you're going to put them in harm's way, they're going to buy it.
Right.
And that's wrong,
yeah.
in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that's something that we really feel strongly about is you want to make sure people are protected adequately,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, minimize their out-of-pocket costs at,
yeah.
whenever possible.
So that's great. So, you know, from what I understand, you know, the insurance business and the financial services business, if it is your calling, it's a great business for young professionals to start out in, especially if they're good at sales, too. So if they love the product, they're good at sales. Because, you know, we were talking about a guy like Adam, who's in his 20s, I believe.
He is.
And so a young professional can get into this industry, work their tail off for a good 3-4 years, and not that they're going to stop working, but much like the plane uses, what do they say, 80% of its fuel getting off the ground. Once you're in the air, you know, you get to pull back a little bit. Is that true? Is it something that you work your tail off for 3-4 years and you're still working, but you get the momentum to really have a great career?
No, David, you're absolutely right. I mean, to me, insurance is kind of a hidden gem,
mm-hmm.
and it's not sexy. It's not exciting on the naked eye, but when you get into it, it's all about working with people.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a people business. This is a relationship business, and you can go shop online at, you know, abcinsurance.com. But at the end of the day, mm-hmm. people want to know you have their back. You're working for them, and you know, being a young guy in this business is hard.
Yeah,
it's very difficult. But you hit the nail mm-hmm. on the head when you said 3 to 4 years. It's going to take you 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Adam's a perfect example. He came over from Buffalo. He's not from this area.
Mm-hmm.
And him and I met and we talked, and he said, you know, I'm like, what do you think? I said, what I want you to do is meet every single new person you possibly can meet in this city.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, different C of I's, whether they're CPAs, whether it's you, David, mm-hmm. whether it's payroll professionals or copier salespeople, people who are meeting with other businesses, ask them questions. See if you can help them.
Mm-hmm.
Plant the seeds. Plant the seeds. And I've always told them this. And he didn't need me to tell him. He knew. He's one of the rare kids that actually yeah. knew what he wanted to do, but he executed it. And in a matter of 2 years, he's built up a great C of I, you know, mm-hmm. referral relationship with many people in town.
What's C of I?
A center of influence.
Oh, gotcha. Yep.
A center of influence. And in our business, anybody can be a center of influence.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anybody can be a center of influence. So, you know, to me, that is the key to his success,
yeah,
and that's why he will continue to be successful. Not just to sell you something,
mm-hmm.
he's looking to help people,
yeah.
and he has gone out of his way to help others,
yeah,
other C of I's. And guess what? What goes around comes around.
Yeah,
and I truly believe that. And you know, he's received some reciprocity now from some people that he worked with, and
yeah.
he's, you know, he's out 4 to 5 nights a week,
yeah,
at different association events. And I said, pick something that you enjoy,
yeah,
that you know, like. I mean, he's on a not-for-profit board that deals with, you know, kids that have drug addictions.
Right.
His mother runs it.
Wow.
So it's close to yeah. their heart, close to their family, and you know, you're always going to do a better job at something you enjoy doing.
He's on the Make-A-Wish Advisory Board with me, too.
It's right. He's
yeah.
on the Make-A-Wish Advisory Board. So
I think I've seen him at Rotary as either as a guest or a member, but that's what you got to do when you're young buck, any old buck, anytime you're when you're trying to, you know, start a business, or you have a business, or Andrew, you're in sales, which pretty much everyone's in sales if you own a business.
Everybody.
Those are the things you got to do. And it helps, like you said, to just be a person who truly cares. And that comes across. That comes across in your demeanor, your personality. You know, it's funny. I not that we want to talk about Adam the whole time, but you're going to laugh at how I met him. So I was at Hazleton Toyota, uh-huh. and I was getting my car serviced. And I'm waiting in the waiting room. I have my laptop, and I'm doing some work. And, you know, I have to visit the restroom.
Sure.
And I don't want to have to pack up everything just to go to the restroom really quickly. And so I see this guy sitting next to me, at the table next to me.
He looks trustworthy?
He just looks like this trusting Eagle Scout, sweet face. Like, oh, my God. If I can't trust him, then this world's gone to heck. So I just go, I don't know you, but I'm Dave Bomano. I'm going to run to the restroom. Can you watch my computer? He's like, yeah, absolutely. No problem. And come back. And, of course, it's still there and everything's good. So I thank him. That was it. A couple months later, I'm at a Make-A-Wish board dinner, and there's this new face there, young professionals, part of the board. I know you, and we're trying to figure it out. It was him. And I said, who would have thought? You know, and
Small city. Now
we're friends, and I've had events for entrepreneurs that he sponsored with Lolly, and he's been there, and I've helped him introduce him to some people through LinkedIn, and it's just little things like that. Having a trusting face, boom, right?
That's how things happen. You're right.
Yep. And I think through my LinkedIn contacts, I've either gotten him some clients or some very good leads. So
he sold me. He told me for sure.
Yeah. And so I mean, firms like Lolly. I mean, are you guys always hiring? Are you always looking for good salespeople, young bucks that just want to come out and prove themselves?
Always.
Yeah.
You know, we're always looking for good salespeople. It's the most difficult thing that we do. We've tried numerous different things of hiring people from other industries mm-hmm. and grooming them for the insurance industry. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
In our world, if you're a very good consultant, you're 100% commissioned mm-hmm. salesperson.
Yeah.
90% or maybe higher than that of people aren't going to make it.
Yeah.
That's reality.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult to find people that have the fortitude, have the persistency, and have the want and are willing to, you know, be patient.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to go out and hit a home run your first 6 months in the business.
Yeah.
If you hit a couple singles, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, so we're looking for people that are looking long-term and, you know, a lot of younger people, if they can make an extra, you know, few dollars guaranteed salary, which I understand, at another firm, it might not work.
Yeah.
It might not work.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, we are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
Fox News' Tim Shalhoub takes on the news stories of the day with comedic insight. Weekdays 3 to 6 on WOKR.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-368-5184. 800-368-5184. 800-368-5184. 800-368-5184.
Think of everything you do to provide for your family. A home, food on the table, healthcare, vacations, and saving for your kids' education. It's all good as long as you're alive. But it's only a drop in the bucket of what they'll need if you die without life insurance. Buying term life insurance is not something you can afford to put off. Call the Term Lifeline now for the lowest possible rates on quality term life insurance. Term life rates are at all-time lows, and we can save you up to 70%. If you already have coverage, you could be paying too much. One call could save you thousands of dollars. We have great rates for smokers, too, or if you have health problems. Providing for today is good, but it's not enough if you die prematurely. Call the Term Lifeline today for a free quote. Protect your family and see if you could save up to 70%.
800-430-1481. 800-430-1481. 800-430-1481. That's 800-430-1481.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? We can help you if you qualify. Your student loans can be taken out of default. We can stop the wage garnishments, stop the collection calls, and stop the seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and see if we can help you reduce your student loan payments. One quick 10-minute call could solve them right now. So call the Student Loan Helpline now.
800-419-2201, 800-419-2201, 800-419-2201, that's 800-419-2201.
This is a fee-based document preparation service to help you access free government programs. Call for complete details, not available in all states.
Something new in talk radio, 1310 WOKR.
All right, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Amano, your host, and I am here with Mike Mancuso from Lawley Insurance, and he is telling me how he has breathed life into the insurance industry with good practices and just truly coming from a perspective of how can he help people. Not how can he line his pockets, but how can he help people. And obviously, if he helps people, everything else is going to take care of itself, right? So
true
with any business. So, and we're talking about young people getting started in this business and how hard it is. I mean, sales, right? I remember listening to Brian Tracy cassette tapes, gives you my age, back in the day when I was first starting out in sales in my car. And he said something where, you know, salespeople are the poorest people in the world and they're the richest people in the world, right? But you write your own paycheck. It's all up to you. And but it's very difficult because for the first time in your life, probably no one's telling you exactly what to do, right? I mean, you grow up with your parents, you go to college, there's a schedule. There's always like a schedule of things to do and people telling you what to do, whether it's teachers, parents, et cetera. Now you're on your own, you're in sales, and you have full freedom to do whatever the heck you want. Most people can't handle that responsibility. And you get into a sales job and you just have to roll up your sleeves and do some stuff that's very difficult, where 9 out of 10 people are going to tell you to go away and you have to have thick skin and resilience to just keep on going. And when it comes to products like insurance, financial services, sometimes it's even tougher because there's so many people calling on companies, right? And so you have to stand out. And a lot of times it just comes to just having good character, good endurance, right time, right place, eventually will pay off, right?
Well, I think that's a big piece of it. I mean, we've, over the years, we've tried sales coaches. Mm-hmm. We've tried different training programs. And one sales coach we did, that I got involved with personally, and I had a relationship with him for probably about a year, maybe a year and a half. He taught me several things that I kind of got from his training. One thing he told me is, Mike, who are the most successful salespeople you've ever seen? You know, who are the best? You know, what are their characteristics? And he said, well, the number one thing in order to be a very successful salesperson is be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Be yourself.
Just be yourself. Yeah.
You know, and I thought for a minute, he's absolutely right, because people will see through insincerity or through people who are fake. Mm-hmm. Initially, you might win their approval over, you know, something if you think you pulled one over on somebody, but the town's too small. It will always come back.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can do a great job for a nice account in a town like Rochester, word will get out.
Yep.
Everybody talks.
Yeah.
It's the smallest 1 million person city in the world. Okay,
yeah.
And if you're Italian, it's instead of 7 degrees of separation.
Well,
it's
degree. We turn out to know the great. This by calling you last week for the first time and meeting you, we know Lisa Lodadio.
That's right,
Lisa Dorini. So hello, Lisa. We both know you.
Hi, Lisa. I miss you. I haven't seen you in a long time.
Small world. But absolutely. Well, you know, speaking of Italian, there's actually a Sicilian phrase that says the fish rots from the head down, right? So if the person is not doing good work, so goes, you know, the rest of what he does, his work, his clients, et cetera. If the leaders of the organization, the partners of the organization are doing subpar work and just not running a good culture-based organization, mm-hmm. there goes the rest of the organization. But conversely, you run a good show, you do good work, you're right, karma's, it's going to catch up with you and your reputation is going to get around. So somebody, you know, is going to refer you, right? Oh, we love working with Lolly. We love working with Mike.
Sure.
And they're going to talk about you, right? So, and that's, it's just, it's called the compound effect, right?
Mm, that's right.
Yep. So when you are looking for a good salesperson, mm-hmm. what are some traits that definitely catch your eye? Like, let's give this gal a shot.
I mean, one thing I look for, to be honest, is I look for some people that have gone through some failures.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think that is really, really important. Everybody likes to be on the winning team. Everybody likes to be the MVP of the team and like someone that's had a lot of success. But in sales, I've learned over the years that you're going to have more failures than you are successes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I look through someone's resume and I have a conversation with them and you know, they've told me about some of their struggles mm-hmm. and how they weren't successful and what they did to get through those.
Yeah.
Those types of things to me are a lot of times more valuable than the person who's never seen failure because, mm-hmm. especially in this business, you're going to see a lot of failure in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, we go through personality tests and our HR people send salespeople through particular personality tests and we know that certain characteristics will be better than other characteristics. But at the end of the day, you know, I need someone who's going to, you know, has perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grandfather always told me the most important thing in sales is perseverance. And he's absolutely right. I look around and there might be some people that know more than certain other consultants or some people who may have better connections. And when I look at who's the most successful, mm-hmm. it's the people that persevere. The people that are consistent,
yeah.
The people that are disciplined, and you can look at all the studies you want, but everything I've seen, you need 7, 8, 9 contacts
mm-hmm.
to make sales.
Yeah.
Most people give up after the first one.
Right.
They never make the second call.
Yeah.
You know, those are the stats out there, so I look at a lot of statistics like that.
Just to get the appointment, right?
Just to get the appointment.
Yeah.
Just to get the appointment.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, to me, that's very, very important, and people can have all, you know, fantastic degrees and master's degrees and, mm-hmm. you know, have a lot of accolades maybe where they were before, but, you know, how did you get the sales?
Yeah.
Did someone walk you in the door and you close them? Or did you have to knock on the door?
Right.
Did you have to find the way past the gatekeeper? Did you have to find the way in to meet Joe to make the sale?
When the door was locked, did you still find a way in, right?
That's right.
Yep.
There was always a way.
Yep.
There was always a way. And I tell a lot of people, a lot of our salespeople, get to the no.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the no. When they keep telling you maybe, I'm not sure, I'm not, get to the no, because you know what? After so many no's, the yes will come.
Yeah. Yeah. My first boss, Steve Chartrand, I started out in radio sales, ironically, and for a station called Wish 95. And we were number 11 out of 10. And it was like the instrumentals of Barry Manilow and Barbra Streisand. You know, it was like if you couldn't fall asleep, you turn on Wish 95 and you would fall right asleep.
Nice.
Right? We changed it to Rocket 95, which, you know, it turned a little bit better. But Steve Chartrand, he always had the advice, the law of 21. I'm like, what is that? He goes, you call on a client 21 times and you'll never get to 21. I'm like, oh, you know, he's like, right? And so I combine that with a friend of mine, Darren Hardy, who is the former publisher of Success Magazine.
Sure.
So he cited a study, and I forgot who did the study, but the average number of phone calls or contacts a salesperson had to make in order to get an appointment. And it was like 6 or 7. Well, that was the average, right? So,
right.
So sometimes it's 9, 10. Yeah. And then what the study, they did another study studying the average number of attempts that a salesperson would make, and it was less than 1 because some people didn't even do it, right?
They didn't make the first call,
and
right?
Didn't even make the first call. And, you know, so it really is just a habit of persistence and determination. And you're totally, you know, endurance, right? You know?
And over the years, David, you know, I've learned you got to work smarter too. And working harder is great, mm-hmm. but you got to work smarter. And what I mean about that is, you know, you may call on an owner of a business 7 or 8 times.
Yeah.
And he may never return your call.
Yeah.
But if somehow you can get to his accountant,
right,
who maybe you know,
yeah,
and he makes an email introduction to him,
yeah,
your chance of success improves tenfold, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, over time, you can figure out, geez, who knows this person?
Yeah.
Who can introduce me to this person? Not
yeah.
give me the business. Just make an introduction, because our hardest job
yeah.
as a salesperson, I don't care what industry you're in, is getting in the door.
And just asking, finding
asking
ways, right?
The questions, yeah. right?
So many people are afraid to ask.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No,
you're absolutely right.
You know, it's funny. You say that reminded me of when I first started out my first business, which was Next Step Magazine back in 95.
Sure.
And I wanted mentorship because I was 25 at the time and I didn't know anything. So I wanted to surround myself with you know, I read the book Think and Grow Rich, and you surround yourself with the Mastermind Alliance. And I'm like, all right.
Only now.
Yeah, and like, who could be in my Mastermind Alliance? So at the time I said, well, who's probably the number one entrepreneur in Rochester? Tom Galassano. So, you know, of course I call and I can't get through. I'm this 25-year-old punk kid. You know,
right.
Tom Galassano's, you know, running one of the most successful companies in the country at the
oh,
time,
yeah.
right? And still is. I mean, it's still. And so lo and behold, I just happened to meet his executive assistant, right? He turns out that a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in a while, his wife, right? So I asked her, I said, Jane, do you think you can ask Tom that if I could meet with him to pick his brain? And she said, I'll give it a shot. Well, wouldn't you know, he said yes,
there
right?
You go.
And so she said, he'll meet you at the North Side Inn in East Rochester on blah, blah, blah day. Of course, I'm there, you know, 15 minutes early.
Oh, yeah.
Got my, you know, Stafford suit on. I'm
oh,
ready to go.
Ready to go.
Come my notepad, tons of questions. Well, that guy, he probably spent about 2.5 hours with me.
Wow.
I mean, he was wonderful. And actually gave me some great advice that did change the direction of the business model. I took tons of notes, even paid for lunch, right?
Wow.
And we still have a relationship today. He's in my cell phone, and I don't abuse it, but, you know, wonderful, wonderful entrepreneur that was willing to give back. But I was, to your point, I was willing to ask the questions, and I was willing to go around the door when it was locked.
That's right.
And that's
you
what
found
that,
a way.
That's what you got to do, you know? One of my core values at my company is DWIT, which stands for doing whatever it takes.
I like it.
And you just that's what good entrepreneurs, good business owners, good salespeople do is they do whatever it takes within the realms of the law.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
We try to stay in the law, you know? But that's true. So and you know, I think too good to be good in sales, persistence, determination, and thick skin. You can't take it personally.
That's right.
You're gonna quote unquote annoy people. I always say, hey, I'm calling back. I'm being pleasantly persistent. That's one of my lines.
I call
you know?
Professionally persistent, but sure.
There you go, professionally yeah. persistent. If you can use humor, great. Some people can't get away with it. You know,
yep.
I can. I happen to do some stand-up comedy in college and after college. So wasn't that funny. That's why I'm doing this.
You're talking to me.
Yeah. But if you could use humor in sales, that always works out great. You know, like how sometimes people won't call me back and leave a message. I'll say, wow, I thought getting the girls to call me in high school is bad, but I tell you, you're making it a lot worse, you know. And they call you back, you know,
they
because
call you back.
you're willing to take a chance and step outside, be authentic, right?
That's right.
No one else is doing that, right?
Nope.
So,
what's the worst they can do? Yell at you?
Well, you know, isn't that funny? And here's another sales tactic that I learned, and this was from a buddy of mine in college, and this guy was not good looking by any stretch of the imagination, but he would always get, I'll say, a date by the end of the night, right?
Mm-hmm.
I go, Mike, how do you do it? This guy's name Mike.
Why is his name going to be Mike?
Mike. I know. It was Mike. It was not you. Another Mike. Mike, how do you do it? He goes, it's simple. He goes, I realize I'm walking into the bar, and I got nobody. We got nothing. And he goes, worst case scenario. I ask every girl at that bar. They all say no. I'm walking out. I'm at the same place.
That's
I
right.
still got nothing. What do I got to lose, right?
I know a friend that has the same problem.
Right. You know? And it's like... But you know, he would get a date because he just was like, I'm asking everybody. And I was like, that's a good sales lesson is, you know what? You start the day, you got nothing. And, you know, you could call 100 people. If they all say no, it's all right. You still got nothing, you know. But you, the point is, you just try. You just try.
It's funny you say that, because we just had a speaker, and he's a well-known speaker in the insurance world. And, of course, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But he came in and spoke to our group. And we have about 70 salespeople slash partners throughout our footprint.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the biggest issue with consultants, and he was talking about insurance industry, but it's applicable to any industry, mm-hmm. is expectations.
Yeah.
He said, it's expectations. He said, you know, what do you think a big book of business is? So everyone's like, wow, you know, if you have $1 million of revenue, $1 million of revenue is a big book.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's interesting. He said, I work with people that have $10 million books of business. Mm-hmm. $5 million books of business, $3 million books of business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll be honest, before I walked in that meeting, I thought, oh, geez, I don't know if you can really effectively handle more than a $3 million book of business. I always thought in my head, that's the biggest you can. So if you think that, then it is.
Yeah.
Then it's true.
Yeah.
You know, so it kind of opened my eyes, and I've been in the business a long time, to think, well, I guess there are different ways to do it, and there's different ways to be efficient.
Yeah.
And you also brought up, you know, what percentage of your time should you spend on your ideal client?
Mm-hmm.
So the ideal prospect.
Yeah.
How should you do that? And he said, you know what? You get your book of business, which I have done this in the past, and get your top 20%, the old 80-20 rule.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you should spend 90% of your time with that 20%, okay, of your retention time with that 20% of your clients.
Yeah.
And the rest of the clients, you shouldn't ignore them, but mm-hmm. you have a great service team.
Yep.
That's what you pay them for. Have them do their job.
Yep.
So you service your 80% and then spend one day a week, not 2 days, not 3 days, one day a week calling your best prospects.
Yep.
Your best. You shouldn't spend any time selling a very small group who may not be in your wheelhouse, and really you can't do a great job for them. Why are you wasting your time with them?
Yep.
I thought, you know what? You're right. But sometimes you're like, you know what? Those are easy ones. I'll knock down a couple easy ones. Then I'll go after the hard one.
Right. Yeah. Good for you. So it goes back to the good old 80-20 rule, right? The good Pareto principle. Another Italian, Mr. Pareto.
That's right.
So, Mike, this has been great. We are running out of time here. I want to thank you so much for actually making insurance exciting for the world. We appreciate that. Thank you for doing a good job and letting us learn more about your industry and your journey. Appreciate that. If any of our listeners want to get in touch with you, either to inquire about a sales job, or maybe they want your insurance products, or just want to connect with you, what's the best way to do that?
The best way, you can obviously go on our website, which is, you know, lawleyinsurance.com, L-A-W-L-E-Y, insurance.com. My personal email is mmancuso, M-M-A-N-C-U-S-O, at lawleyinsurance.com. Be happy to field any, you know, questions that anyone may have out there for opportunities or just questions. Be happy to do that. And I want to thank you, David, for giving me the opportunity to speak to your listeners. And hopefully I wasn't too boring for anybody.
It was fantastic. New TV show coming up, Rochester Insurance.
Nice.
Sorry, Mike Mancuso. Well, Mike, this has been great. Thanks again for your time. Truly appreciate it. Wish you continued success. We do have to go. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Appreciate you listening to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. If you or someone you know would like to be considered to be on the show as a guest, I interview founders, partners, business owners, entrepreneurs. Please email me at david@davidmamano.com, david@davidmamano.com. And make sure to check us out on the web at davidmamano.com for more episodes. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.